A blessed Lord's Day to all our listeners here in Barbados and across the Eastern Caribbean, and indeed, wherever this broadcast is heard. It is my pleasure, delight to have with us this morning, Reverend Edgell, Emily K. Edgell. I can't just say Reverend Emily Edgell, pastor of the Newberry Church of the Nazarene. And he's going to be sharing with us this morning as we further look into Psalm 73. Very rich, very deep. And we trust this morning that as you listen, you'll be strengthened in your faith to move forward in the ministry that God has called you to. Reverend Edgell, would you mind asking God's guidance and discernment for us this morning?
That's no problem. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness and for your love. Lord, we thank you for allowing us this opportunity to be on the airwaves, Lord, where we can share about you and about your goodness, God, and about your faithfulness. Lord, we pray that even as we would discuss this morning, God, that you would indeed take full charge and control. Touch some heart, some life, God, to be drawn ever closer to you, to fulfill the calling that you have placed on their lives. We pray, God, that you would just be honored and glorified in all that is said and done in this setting. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we want to start by thanking Federal Motor Spears for the years of investment in this radio broadcast. And our continued prayer is that God will continue to give multiple blessings to the business of Brother Aileen and his family in the business located on Bank Hall Main Road, Federal Motor Spears. Reverend Edgell, when I was asked to share for the month of November, the next morning around 4 o'clock, you came very forcefully in my mind, having looked at Psalms 73, and in my spirit said, the Lord, I'm going to share this with the next month. It was around after four in the morning. And I remember sharing it with Reverend Marina, saying to her, now, Rev, I think I'm going to have Reverend Emmy Edgell share with us the first Sunday, which was last Sunday. But then I never thought, why not set it up? And then allow Reverend Edgell to come. So thank you for coming. Reverend Edgell, let me look at Psalm 73. And that verse there, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had almost slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And what struck me there, I saw young Reverend Edgell, a young man having graduated from Harrison College, gone on to university, do his first degree in electronics and computer science. A young man leaving university with first class honors. A young man going into teaching at Foundation School, of which I learned you encountered one of our present pastors.
Yes, I did.
our Foundation School. At this time in your life, Reverend Emmy, is the call of God evident?
At that time, no. And I would say in part, to be perfectly frank, I wasn't keen on fulfilling any call at that point in time in my life. I would suggest that others may have seen at that time, because I was still involved in various ministries at the church, both at a local level and even on the district level. But I was not in a space at that time where I would say, yes, I was aware of God's call on my life, or to be more accurate, I was even interested in the call of God on my life at that particular point in time. I won't lie to you.
Actually, we should let it be known here to our listeners that Reverend Emmy is a pastor's kid. Yes. Actually, his mom is an elder, a reverend in the church. His father, Reverend Edgell, is also an elder in the church. So Emmy was born and bred in ministry. Yeah. But Reverend Emmy, so here you are. You've graduated. You've gone on to You've got a foundation, mm-hmm. and then you're going to further your education then.
Yes, please.
So from here, what happened?
From there, I went to the United Kingdom. So I got accepted into the University of Liverpool to do an engineering postgraduate degree. And so I did, it was actually a novel degree at the time. It was mm-hmm. called Information and Intelligence Engineering. It was the first, we were the first group of people who were going to be venturing in this degree program.
Whoa.
And it was that, even with that, that was a move of God, because Liverpool was not the school that I really wanted to go to. I had actually applied to the University of Manchester, among others. And what was remarkable was that Liverpool was the university that responded first. And so I said, all right, this is the school I'm going to go to. And Rev, I'll even confess this, I had applied to 5 universities and I got accepted into all 5 universities.
Wow.
But this program, it spoke to me more because of the novelty of it.
Yeah.
But also I appreciated that they were so quick to respond, because if I'm not mistaken, I think this was the last school I applied to and they were the first to respond to me. And so in speaking to my parents, they were like, yeah, this would be ideal for you. Maybe this is God's purpose for your life to go into this program that is new. And so that's where I went.
So I noticed for degrees electronics, but you're going into this field and your master's. So in your mind, where you were headed?
I was actually fully bent on a career in telecommunications and working in wireless comm and engineering field. That's where I really wanted to go. And that was my passion at the time. And I had a really good friend of mine who had encouraged me to come to the UK, and that she was saying that they would have many opportunities. And I found that when I got there, yeah, they really were.
And in essence, you were going there fully loaded.
Fully loaded.
First class honors.
That's
in
right.
Electronics, computer science. I'm not venturing on this new degree,
yep.
which is going to open these doors.
Yes, please. Yep.
Okay, so you complete your master's,
mm-hmm.
and you're back in Barbados, or yep. you did some work in England?
No, I came back to Barbados
yeah.
Once I graduated, and the idea was to come back here and to try to utilize the degree
yeah.
and to work in the field and get some experience here.
Okay, so here's this young man, young graduate, fully loaded, ready to take the world on and make lots of money. Fully equipped to do such.
Yeah.
So there was a point in time though, Emmy, that you've completed these secular degrees,
mm-hmm.
but you've started to study again. You've gone back to the States now to do a theological degree.
Yeah.
I mean, how you got there? From science, over to Liverpool, now you've gone back to study the Word of God, study about God.
Yeah.
How you got there?
So, Rev, I'll be honest with you, there's a way that God moves that we can't always fully understand. So between that time when I came back from Liverpool and when I left to go to Colorado, it was a period of about eight years or so. And in that time, my professional career arc hadn't gone how I was planning for it to go. And even though within there I got married and that was awesome, but my wife sensed that there was a disquiet
Whoa.
Within me. And she noticed that I was really unsettled. And even though it's not that things were terrible, because I had pretty decent jobs, but there was that lack of peace and true fulfillment. And she was concerned. And she she let me know that you were doing something new in your life that you probably should not be doing. And I think it was then that I became more open to the call of God.
Wow.
And it was largely because of her. And at the time, my oldest daughter, who was about 1 or 2 at the time, my wife sensed that unease within me because of my own interactions with our daughter at the time. It wasn't that it was like mean or terrible or anything, but she could sense, even in my own engagement with our daughter, that something wasn't fully right. And she really let me know, look, there's clearly something that you need to be doing that you're not doing. And what she was hinting at was that God had been trying to get my attention. And it clearly was not being as susceptible to that as it needed to be. And so once I submitted to the fact that, yeah, God is calling me, and it just so happened to be after the death of my father-in-law, who was also a minister, at his funeral service, the Lord arrested me right there in that service. And he was like, yeah, you need to come and do what I've called you to do. And Rev, it was as clear as anything. And from then, I started to put these steps in place to transition then to going into Bible school. And God again opened up that opportunity whereby a program was created for me.
Wow.
At NBC, there was a program designed for me because of my, again, because of the educational background I had before.
Yeah.
They were like, okay, so there are certain things that you just need to do and to fulfill so that you can do what you need to do. And so that, Rev, that just cemented the fact that, yeah, God has called me and I'm following this call on my life and progressing in that way. And it was just, all right, this is full steam ahead.
I know, I mean, your wife is also a pastor's kid.
Yes, she is.
All right.
Yes, she is.
And your wife is detecting that call of God on her husband's life. Two young married people.
Yeah.
But she's detecting, as qualified as you are in the secular brother, if God is calling you,
yeah,
that is the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, no wonder the scripture says when a man finds a wife,
he finds a good thing.
Papa, it's interesting too in this conversation that God allowed you to fully qualify yourself in other areas.
And yeah.
I want to interject and say this, Evie. All that you've studied, God is going to use it.
Yeah.
It's interesting that back then you studied this and what is it?
I did information and intelligence engineering.
But intelligence is a big subject.
Yeah, it is.
In the world, the church is wondering what's going to happen to us.
That's right.
With this intelligence, is intelligence?
Artificial intelligence.
Yeah. Yeah. But God prepared you
to
perfect that subject matter a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I want to say, though, that none of the things you've studied will go unused.
Yeah.
God is going to position you to be a beacon in his kingdom where that knowledge base is going to become very important.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are at Colorado and you've completed your studies.
Yes.
Okay, you're pastoring there or helping
me? I was assisting at two churches. And that was also a wonderful experience to be able to minister in that context, which is somewhat different from here. But what you find is that just as the gospel is needed here in Barbados, it was needed is needed in Colorado, it's needed everywhere.
Yeah.
And so people were willing to receive even as I had to share, and they were willing also to pour into my life.
Amen.
And to help me in that way along my journey. And God used even my college experience there to be able to share and to engage with not just students but professors, those who worked in the library, and even those who came from outside to study at the campus. We would spend time together.
I mean, maybe don't about that. I hear the very modest, but let me go into it. You mean you have top person?
Yeah, so I did some tutoring while I was there as well.
But he didn't tell me this was a grind, this one of them. And yet that is a very humble guy. But I suspect it was more than what you're saying. Tell us about other experience. Don't know what God is doing. You've perfected. I've done well in your engineering course, first class honors, masters. Now he's taken you into Bible school, but right here, you're tutoring some of what you did before.
Well, I did some, so I tutored in math and some folks in some English. And then we would have groups where we'd do like history and science. And so again, because of my own background, it was able to help students. And the thing is, they needed those courses to be able to pass the degrees and stuff. So I was able to help both from a position where the school itself asked if I would do that for them. And so that was on one hand. And then otherwise, I just availed myself to to some of my students, student colleagues, sorry, to be able to share with them as well.
Awesome, right? And I, you know, I'm seeing in my mind, I'm seeing that those very students were preparing to come to Colorado University. God was preparing a lamb in Barbados with knowledge that would make their journey easier.
That's right.
So while you were doing those things, you were being prepared to pour into the lives of upcoming ministers that's from across the world.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
So, I mean, okay, so you're back. And what are some of the comments from your schoolmates? I mean, you're known at school, you're known at university as a smart guy. Now they hear that Emmy's moving into ministry. What were some of the feedback?
Well, some of my closest friends, they actually said to me that it was about time. And they had seen that in me before me seeing that in myself. And there were two of them in particular who were like, yeah, we figured this was going to be the path for you. It was just a matter of you figuring this out. And, you know, and from my closest friends, there was support. And I would suggest for some others who would have known me as well, there might have been a bit of uncertainty as well. So what is that? This is the path that you've taken, because clearly ministry is not the same thing or viewed the same way societally as being an engineer. But I think what spoke to me, Rev, was before I left for Colorado, the boss I had at the time, when I told her that I was leaving to go into ministry and she's not a Christian, she was really supportive. She said, that is something that is honorable to do and you should go and pursue it. And I think that, not that I was looking for her approval, but what it helped me have was a sense of peace that I was fulfilling the right purpose for my life. And so, yes, I wouldn't be surprised if others were a little uncertain and surprised that this was the path I was taking. But it helped that those who were closest to me were supportive.
So at this time that you're speaking about is when you were managing the offshore company?
Yeah. Yep.
So your movement to university in Colorado to do your theological degree, you had to resign.
I had to resign.
From your management of this offshore company.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
Okay. All right. Let's now mesh this into ASAP's experience.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. That's, and I want to commend you, though. I want to commend you on your outstanding and those listening. Bright people also going to ministry.
Yeah.
Smart people also going to ministry.
Very true.
First class honors students also answer the call of God on their lives.
That's right.
So if you're listening this morning and you come yourself a smart person, smart persons don't run from God.
That's right.
Smart persons run to God.
True.
And they can function in various areas.
Very true.
But the smarter you are, the greater realization you have
that's right.
of who God is. Mm-hmm. So, Reverend Emmy, here we are with our brother Isaac, called to ministry.
Yeah.
Can you identify at all with chapter 2? And if so, how?
In verse 2, yes. I can totally appreciate what Isaac is saying here because he thought of himself in the path that he was on, considering maybe what would have taken place in his life had he taken a different path and pursued that different path. And you can be, it could be disheartening at times when you think about the fact that, yes, I could have gone into management as an engineer and do a lot of different things in that field and be wealthy and well set and everything. And when you compare that with what we go through as ministers, you can be at times discouraged. Yeah. I will be frank with you. And there were times where I even asked those questions, Rev, of have I really made the right decision and the right choice? I mean, I have a young family, you know, you're thinking that you want to be able to provide for them, you know, societally, financially, that kind of thing.
Are you qualified to do so?
Yes, very much so. Very much so, you know, and to have that, There is that perception of, maybe I've made a mistake. And the enemy preys on that, Rev.
Yes.
And he has a way of trying to get our focus off of what God is looking to do in our lives.
Right.
You know? And so there were times, Rev, and even after I embraced the assignment at Newberry, there were times where those thoughts did come into my mind, you know, and I've seen a lot of my friends who have gone on to do remarkable things, and there were moments where like, oh, it will cut a bit, you know?
Perhaps guys who you assisted.
Yeah, for sure, Rev. And I will confess here, the director at the Meteorological Services here, Dr. Sabu Bess, we were at university together, you know? And so things like that, they do cause you to think, you know? And yeah, the discouragement in those moments can be real, but it helps again when you're surrounded by those who are there to stand with you. You know, I marvel that Jesus did not come and engage in his ministry on his own, even though he had the capability of doing it. Yeah. Instead, he had 12 men around him who he poured into, but they also served a purpose for his life as well.
Right.
You know, and in those moments, it really helps to have people praying for you, praying with you, and encouraging you that this is the path God has called you for. Don't lose heart in that. Don't lose your hope and your faith in God and what He is doing in your life.
But I mean, also in this text though, we can see how crafty the enemy is. Look
oh,
what
yeah.
he pushed into Esau's mind. I think we spoke about it earlier. Mm-hmm. Which verse that was?
That was verse two we talked about.
Yes.
He almost slipped. And then he said in verse three, he envied the arrogant when he saw the prosperity of the wicked.
Yes.
And it causes you to view the prosperity, the material prosperity. And Rev, that can be really hard to ignore at times, you know? And it's not that you become so sanctified and so holy that you become blind to everything you see around you. And having the envy of that, that is something that can be harmful and dangerous.
And it's real.
But it is real. It is real, you know, because you're thinking, well, I could have had that. That could be me. I'm more, you know, and it can be really, the enemy can really play on your mind and even on your heart with that. And you can't turn your eyes off it. You can't just cover your face and say, I don't see it, because it's there and it's evident. But clearly for Asaph, even though he had to work through that, because it wasn't a case where he just ignored what he was feeling or invalidated what he was feeling. He had to struggle through that. He had to work through that and come to the place of realization. Yes, I am struggling with envying that and all that kind of thing. But ultimately realizing God has called me for a purpose.
Amen.
God has established me for a purpose. And so even though there is that, I will still put my hope and trust in God and commit myself to Him and what He's called me to do. And so Asaph is talking about a lot of us today, Rev. He's talking about a lot of us today, but he's also encouraging. Don't just focus on the material advancements that your friends may be having or family members may be having, or people may say this is what you should be doing. Realize that the call that God has placed on your life, it far supersedes. And the rewards may not be material. They may not be material, but they will far outweigh anything material that you would acquire. And I believe that is, and Asaph allows us to see that he works through it.
Yes.
And I love that he's open, he's vulnerable, he's transparent in that way. Because for those of you like me who have gone through all that you have gone through and figuring this is the path of my life, there is that struggle that you have to work through. But God is there to walk through the struggle
amen,
with you.
Amen,
right?
Amen.
And to allow you to fulfill the purpose that he has for your life. He doesn't invalidate your feelings, but what he does is he takes that, if you would give it to him, and he allows you to work through that and come up to the other side where you see, okay, this is what God has called me to do. And you can use all the abilities that he's given you to still fulfill a great purpose that he has for your life.
And once he calls you, he's going to take you through this process.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you don't even know where he's going to take
right.
you. Already, you don't even know the lives you've already touched.
True.
I mean, in that place in Colorado, persons were from rich countries.
So, primarily in Colorado, I met persons from the States, but there was one guy from Jamaica. There were people from the Samoan Islands. I'd never met people from the Samoan Islands before, so I met those. And so that was the composition largely in Colorado. In the UK, I met people from China, and I met a guy from Lebanon. And so,
are you interacting with all of those?
I haven't
from a posture of help.
From those, yes, we helped. Strange enough, the guy from Lebanon, I helped him to cook. But yeah, we were able to talk and to share with each other. So God really used that in a marvelous way.
But we're going to also observe, it can become so absurd. Here's our dear friend, is that reaching the point where he wondered, surely in verse 13, mm-hmm. surely I have cleansed my heart of it.
Yeah.
This whole process is misunderstood. Mm-hmm. So the enemy can distort our mind to the extent that the fake looks real.
That, and I love that you put it that way, because that is exactly what he does. And there's a reason why Jesus referred to him as the father of lies, because lies speaks about deception. And he can deceive or try to deceive to think, well, this over here is better than what God has for you. And we can be so bent on holding on to the fake that we lose sight of the real that God has for us. And again, Rev, it highlights the struggles that Asaph was willing to share,
yes.
you know, and be willing to let it be known. Yeah, he's a follower of God, but he's struggling, you know, he's working through this. He's working through this, and the enemy's there fighting him, you know, and he's thinking, well, yeah, God have been so good. Why is it that I have to go through this struggle, you know? And I appreciate that he's willing to do that. And he's walking through it, and God is walking through with him. So even though the enemy might come after him, God is there helping him navigate that process. And that's what God does with us. When the enemy comes and he presents these fake things to us, God is still there gently reminding us, I've called you. I have a purpose for your life. And if you follow me, I will accomplish what I have to accomplish in and through you.
So, I mean, what would you say to me here? This time is rushing away from us. Mm-hmm. It's such a tremendous, powerful interview. I'm beginning to think this can go for the whole month. But I really just got you in time. So God is strategic.
He is.
So, I mean, what would you say to a young person who follow your path? They've done well at university. They've gone and done their master's. But the call of God is on their life. And they're struggling. They're seeing what can be mm-hmm. and what may be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their mind is beginning to be what can be and what may be. What would you say to such a person this morning?
I would strongly encourage you, if the call of God is on your life, heed the call of God and entrust all your fears, all your anxieties, all your concerns, all the potential feelings of envy and jealousy, entrust all of those into God's hand. And allow God to reorient your journey for you. You know, I am not saying this to blow smoke at anybody. I'm telling you the real of when God calls you, God will take care of you. And it may not look great and fantastic to those outside, but for you, you will find fulfillment and purpose beyond anything else in your life. If God is calling you, don't ignore God's call to go and do something else, because you will end up like Jonah. You'll find yourself in the belly of the fish, feeling totally lost, totally unsettled. But when you commit yourself to God, and it will strongly encourage you, commit yourself to the call of God in your life, and God will fulfill all he needs to do in your life, and he will take care of you.
Brother Emmy, you know, it's persons like you that need to be used by our government. It's persons like you that our church must understand and appreciate the talent God has blessed us with. When you bury it, you know you have a treasure. and our prayer is that everything you've done, all the studies you've invested your time in, you've already seen God using them. But I believe in my heart that it's even greater, that the greater is still ahead. And we thank God too for your wife, who was able to say to her husband, darling, follow the call of God on your life. Sister Edgel, thank you for that. And I'm sure that the world is going to benefit from this young man.
Thank you.
So really, thank you for your time. And
thanks, Ray.
Will you mind just ending in prayer for us?
That's fine.
Ending in prayer for us.
Father, we thank you for giving us this time together. Yes. We thank you, Lord, for using us to bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, we pray for those who will be listening to us this morning, and even maybe going through struggles. I pray, Lord, that you'll give them the quietness of heart to heed your call and to seed their lives to your purpose for their lives. We give you thanks again, God, for all that you've done this morning. And we give you praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, amen. Thank you. I amen. Obey what you say to do, Lord. So let the rewards be there to those who needed to hear this powerful word. Amen. Last Sunday, I said the credit union meeting is the 18th. I called another month, I was told. But it's the 18th of this month.
Yes.
18th of November, 10 o'clock at the Halls Road Church of the Nazarene. We hope to see you there. God bless.
God bless you.
Have a wonderful day.
Amen.